Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planetary Oligarchy. And I'm your host, Janet Kerr Lesson, and my co-host is Dr. Sasha Alex Lesson. And we're waiting for our guest, Ronald Dykeman. And so what we're talking about in this episode of the Planetary Oligarchy series, and this is a series we had out a couple of years ago, 2014, and we've revived it because of all the things that are going on now. So what we're going to do is discuss the early 20th century history of the United States of America, specifically how more than 100 years ago, the Rothschild and Warburg families took over the monetary system of the USA. The bumbling and inept President Woodrow Wilson gave way to the planetary oligarchy families that control the economy of the United States. In that year, the planetary oligarchy basically hijacked the United States of America. So we're going to learn how that happened on this episode of the Planetary Oligarchy. So I'm going to have Dr. Lesson talk to you while I go see if I can find Ronald Dykeman. Take it away, honey. Hold on.
Basically, we've got this paper that people sent us, which analyzes what will happen if the oligarchy program to depopulate this planet succeeds. If it succeeds, they're going to lose everything. There won't be anybody to sustain their lifestyles. Everything will fall apart, and it's this lemming-like behavior that Ronald is going to analyze for us. And really look at this amazing thing that's happened about the way the planet really works. And it's sort of fascinating how he actually came to his discoveries, just starting with setting up a business for himself and realizing what was really going on in ever deeper and deeper levels.
All right. Well, I'm not 100% sure if we're going to even get this show going today because I'm trying to get Ronald to come. And he's not in the country right now. He's out of the country. So he might be trying to get on, unable to do so. So this may be a false start unless you have more information to convey to us about the process in this system. Because I wasn't having the dialogue with him. You were talking to him via Facebook about starting up the series again. So what other information did he tell you? Did he...
We had some fascinating ideas about the relationships of the Western states and...
Talk closer to
the Western states in Canada, the Western states, the United States and Canada, and the possibility is the United States... It sounded so far-fetched until recently when we realized that President Trump was selling us out to the Russians, but there would be a breakup of the United States, and it would be logical indeed, as Ronald suggests, for California, Oregon, and Washington to make some kind of an agreement with British Columbia and Alaska, for liberal states that want to protect their environment. But that's not such a burning issue right now.
Yeah, the mic's over here, honey. So we've been talking about this phenomenon in other shows on Aquarian Radio. We have on Thursdays, we have Elephants in Our Rooms, and we talk about political things. And we're never Trumpers. And, of course, Trump did horrible on the first debate between Biden and Trump last night. It was just it was painful to watch. It was just horrible. And so, we're approaching this election, and this could very well be, the final one that divides the United States into civil war. I know Trump is pushing for anarchy, pushing for his – what was their group called? The good boys or the big boys or the something boys. Anyway, I was watching the YouTube this morning and they were talking about the Antifa and Biden said, well, Antifa is not an organized organization. It's just a concept. It's really not to the Antifa people.
It's opposed to fascism.
It means against fascism. And when my father fought in World War II, he was fighting fascists and fascism and Hitler. And so it's very, very Orwellian that the original meanings of things get twisted and turned around, that good becomes bad and bad becomes good. And this is a system, part of, what do you call that, active measures, which active measures is a concept. I cannot get my computer to work. I apologize. Active measure is an idea that was introduced in the 70s where this Russian agent defected to the United States, and he said, they're using this divide and conquer system to create different factions, different tribalism, between races and colors and creeds and denominations, sub-denominations. You have the Christians, and then they go into the Protestants against the Catholics, and they go into the Mormons against the born-agains, and it gets subdivided with different philosophies until you have more and more smaller tribes. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys at the end, the families against families, and then we're further divided within our families between generations. And so this divisiveness keeps allowing outside factions with different agendas to control, manipulate us to the outcome that they wish to have, which is even what they do within Russia Union. I guess that's part of it, Soviet Union. Putin is in charge of what? Soviet Union. There used to be in USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republic, which is now broken into many individual states. So apparently the United States used active measures or something to break down the USSR. When I was a kid, the Beatles sang, "Back in the USSR." So there was a song, and now that fell apart with the fall of the Berlin Wall. Is that when it happened, honey?
Oh, no, the United States outspent them, and the Russians couldn't afford to keep their military up with ours at the same time feed their civilian population, and they were unable to keep it together.
Right, and apparently the United States has advanced technologies because they created these agreements with extraterrestrials back to Eisenhower, and so for some reason the ETs chose the United States to give us technological superiority. And so when Trump went over in the 80s to get a bailout from Putin, who was helping him, Trump, once again, of course, apparently now with the tax filings that came out in the past few days, Trump is on the verge of bankruptcy again. So he apparently was bankrupted when he approached Putin back in the 80s. And then, so they've had a long-term relationship. And then he was invited back for the Miss Universe show in Moscow. And so they've been going back and forth for a long time. He had plans for a hotel. So this whole system of hotels and clubs and stuff, the Russians realized that they could not beat the United States through technology, but they could through this inside infiltration through money laundering. So according to this active measures documentary, they started, one way that you could hide money in the United States is buying condominiums. I'm not sure of the details of how that's a great way to hide money. I'm not an expert in this by any means, but and it's been about a month since I watched the documentary. It's so complex, I'm going to need to watch it two or three times to get my head around it. But anyway, Russia apparently owns a lot of real estate in the United States. They're putting their agents all through the United States, and they put their greatest asset, Donald Trump, in the highest position in the United States, the White House. And all this chaos, which gets further amplified through the, they have the cops shooting black and brown people, which activates the black and brown people who have felt enslaved and are being persecuted and stopped at the wall and separated from their children and singled out and pulled out of their cars and shot and and shot in their own homes and their own beds. And so, you know, and this is after, you know, 400 years of slavery. And so everybody's pissed off because of it in the streets. And it's like, we need to have equal rights. And we start with Martin Luther King back in the 60s. And here it is, you know, 60 years later and nothing's changed, right? We haven't made any progress. So, of course, they're out there marching and they're trying to get what the American promise is equal rights, no matter what color, race, creed. And they're out there marching, and then all of a sudden comes these little, what do you call this group? These groups that come in and they start burning down buildings. And I'm not sure who's doing what, but there's definitely an element that comes in and escalates things. And, you know, then we have people shooting each other. And then comes in the military, which is being sent by Trump, and then the criticism and to what was that street, that city, and what was the city it was taken over? Portland, yeah. And the criticism, you're not doing it right to bring up the Senate. We have to declare martial law. So, and we've been saying this for, what, 5-6 years, that they're going to come in and declare martial law, which is part of the FEMA camps and martial law and removing all these basic human rights. But we didn't see COVID coming, but COVID is another, it's brilliant. You know, we're all locked down. We can't fly around. Was that artificially created or was it actually existing? But it definitely, however it originated, whether it was in Wuhan or somewhere else in the world, it's being weaponized. COVID is being weaponized against American citizens. And so Trump confuses people because it's pretty easy to confuse. And wears a mask, doesn't wear a mask, tells people, go out, your liberties are being threatened by this lockdown. And it's really, are we being subjected to a disease that could kill us in many moments? There are people that take weeks and months to die, and some people get it and they're dead in 24 hours. So, you know, this is a reality, or at least it's in our media, and who knows what's actually going on, because we never know what's actually going on, because we're just here watching little boxes on the phones, on YouTube, on the televisions, and we've been programmed by television programs since the 1950s, right? Go ahead, Sasha. Your turn to...
From my perspective, this is something that's been here for a long time. It's part of what we call dominator consciousness that was brought to our branch of humanity, particularly by people from the planet Nibiru, who created our species 300,000 years ago and have added to it every generation since. And they basically are obsessed by who's on top. And everybody else is supposed to obey the man on top. It's a woman-hating kind of a attitude. So men are on top always, and there's one guy that's on top of all the other guys. And these people will kill to be on top. It means more to them than anything. They're obsessed with this. This is dominator consciousness. And when you look at one of the devices of dominator consciousness, besides war and slavery and that kind of aggression and repression, is trade. They deliberately, since the time of Nana or Allah, but before he was even Allah, when he was in charge of the peninsula, of the Arabian Peninsula, instituted trade. This is a really good way to get people to work. Trade has been a device from the get-go. Now, in the United States, the main capital on which our country was built, our country in Britain, the richest countries of a few centuries ago, was slavery. That was the property. Stealing people, killing their protectors and enslaving them. And the institutions of higher education, like Yale and Harvard and those things in the United States, were really just a front for this huge slave trading operation, which brought people from Africa to the southern states in particular. And from there, they were sold, and that's what the capital was. And so that the United States was built on the rich capital of what was that capital in the South? That capital was people. And their owners got extra privileges because they had people for their capital. And so all the things that have been built through these generations on the basis of the labor of slaves, and then they were re-enslaved by, you know, you're a vagrant if you're black and you don't have a job. The South was just reinstated slavery. Then you're a convict and you're still doing the same thing. You're still a slave. And so that the United States has been built from the get-go on slavery and then the subterfuges that were really slavery from that time on, so that black people and their descendants have been disadvantaged and continue to be disadvantaged, and the Indians have been cheated and pushed onto their reservations, and white men, particularly southern white men, have taken over this country, and it's time to recognize that we have owed these reparations to the people whose ancestors were enslaved, and the riches that we have as a result of the labor that comes off their back. And what we need is a basic income for everybody so that everybody is supported. But we do need reparations and affirmative action to make up for some of the terrible things that white people have done to brown people and Native Americans, in my humble opinion.
Okay, so I did get a hold of Ronald Dykman, who is coming in, and he's written, do you remember the name of his book? We don't quite have it. He'll have
yes,
to tell
it
us.
Was, let's see, Elementary, My Dear Walid, The Planetary Oligarchy. That was what it was
okay,
called.
Okay, we're talking about The Planetary Oligarchy. Okay, he's trying to get in right now, and we're going to have him lead the discussion, and then we'll ask him questions and add what we can. But what else did you want to say? If we cannot get him on via Blog Talk Radio, we will switch to Zoom. So this will be part one, and then we'll continue part two. And all these will get uploaded to YouTube eventually. And we'll see how we can make this work. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, so there was another thread that some of the advanced Anunnaki, as these people from the Bureau were called, also introduced. And Lilith, as she's known in the Bible, but her name was Ninma, basically, and the women, powerful women, started saying, this is lousy. We want to have a more partnership kind of a society. And that was the society of the great goddess. And after the nuking of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Sinai Peninsula, Ninma established her goddess culture all over the Anatolian plateau. And ultimately, of course, Zeus or Marduk was able to wipe out goddess culture, and to through the ages, that's what's been dominant. This dominator consciousness squashes partnership consciousness, but it doesn't have to be that way. But the way a dominator government works is the function of government is theft. Governments steal people's lives and property and freedom.
Okay, so hold that thought. We have Ronald here.
Hello.
Hello, Ronald.
How are you doing?
Can you hear us?
Yes, this is Reynaldo calling, as I said I would, this evening.
Oh, Reynaldo. Okay, Reynaldo. Very good to hear from you.
Yes,
how are you? Here. Okay,
yeah, I have enough credit to talk for a little bit. Yeah, I have enough credit to talk for a little bit this evening, about 20 minutes or so. Sorry, I'm having to call in this way. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, we'll just. Basically, the way I introduced you was that you know, in the paper that we were looking at, you said how it is the depopulation of. Program
agenda, yes.
Apparently stupid, because the oligarchy that lives off of the population won't have their lifestyle anymore.
Well, whoever wrote that, and you know, if I obviously over this program will salute whoever wrote that, because obviously a highly intelligent individual, and I can understand why he doesn't want anybody knowing who wrote that message, but I've received it as well in my email from a email person, somebody who emailed it. I don't know how the guy got a hold of me, or even if it was a guy, might have been a girl for all I know. But the point is, I printed that off and read it, and I was just like, wow, so on point. Because let's face it, like you said it a minute ago, sir, the big name families such as Rothschild, Warburg, Windsor, Rockefeller, etc., without the rest of the human race out there to be doing the things that we do to generate economic activity so that they can, you know, live the way they live, well, let's face it, they wouldn't. Because, well, among the ranks of their own people, how many of them do you think know the first thing about farming? Could you imagine Lord Rothschild sitting on a tractor on a farm? That would be like something for Saturday Night Live, am I not correct?
These people don't work. They don't know how to wipe their own asses.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're right on the money on that one, because let's face it, you know, if you grew up with a family, they were literally trillionaires. To them, the entire gross national product of many a Central or South American country would be pocket change, if even for them. And a whole year's economic activity in Panama would just be money they just...
Well, from what I've been hearing the past couple of days, they've been squandering it on derivatives. Now,
I'll confess one thing. I don't even know what derivatives are. I do plan for next week to be able to tell you folks, because I'm going to look it up when I'm on my lunch break tomorrow at work. And yes,
I do work a job. You know, something that obviously the Rothschilds or the Windsors wouldn't even have the first clue how to do, would they?
Derivatives were created. George Green was part of the group, the think tank that created derivatives, where they bundled all these mortgages together so they would sell them, and it was a way of controlling the mortgage market, and then they purposely crashed it right before Obama got in. And they started foreclosing. It was outlined in, what was that called? Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper back in the mid to late 90s. And he had found he got hold of a paper that was left on a Xerox, one of the early Xerox machines, and it outlined the depopulation agenda and how they would control the whole planet. And that they were intending to bring the population down to 500,000.
Thank you for jogging my memory.
Yeah.
500 million people. 500 million people is how many people?
No,
it's 500 million.
Because we can't imagine it being 500 million. I mean, 500,000. But I really think the original paper said 500,000, because that's all they need to have hybrid vigor. That's enough of a population that could keep reproducing, and they would have enough of a slave colony to meet their basic needs. This was overkill. Having the entire planet inhabited was more than they needed. Although I don't know, it doesn't seem logical. You're right; it doesn't seem logical. So then, I'll pass the stick back to you.
Why would they kill their own base?
Well, because a lot of it is about marketing, distribution of the resource within humanity. And so I've seen
if you don't mind my interjecting here. Go ahead.
I just want to finish one sentence. I've seen them packaging up human parts. I think they removed them, but there was one time where they would show human parts in a like a meat store for the intergalactics to come in and purchase us, like we would pick up a piece of beef. Okay, go ahead. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've seen that pictures, and it's really
well. My point is simple here, folks. Let's face it. These people, these planetary oligarchy families, they they have needs, okay? They like living in their fancy palaces or mansions. They like having their chauffeured limousines, their private jets, their luxurious furniture, all the latest consumers, electronics, gadgets, as that document that I received said. And, well, Janet, what I will say about, if you're right about saying 500,000 is how many people they want to have still on this planet, that's even dumber than anybody thought, because 500,000 people, do you realize a city of 500,000 people could not support much more than a rudimentary public transit system? I mean, 500,000 people would easily fit in, well, like I lived in Toronto, Canada for a while. 500,000 people, that would not even populate the inner city area of Toronto that immediately surrounds the downtown cluster of tall buildings, including the CN Tower. I mean, more than 500,000 people, you know, ride the subways on any given hour in Toronto. So how they would expect to have anything even like the economy that they need so that they can live the way they do with only 500,000 people left on this planet, I mean, we're talking somebody's obviously got some serious screws loose in their head to think that something like this would do anything but hurt themselves to do that. And I'll agree wholeheartedly with the author. Go ahead, Sasha.
Well, what's behind this obviously insane behavior? What do you think's behind it?
I agree with the theory put forth by the author of that document. Somebody
narcissism
among the very high-level people, among the elite zone class, and let's face it, the elite class of this planet, they too have their pecking order. And I'm inclined to agree with him, and I've been analyzing it in the past couple of weeks myself. The high-up people, the ones at the high end of the high end of the pecking order of their group, somebody among their group has obviously lost it psychologically. What exactly went behind that? Good question. But we're obviously dealing with at least a few people in their pecking order that just aren't shuffling the full decks. I mean, we're talking here the sort of people that, you know, would make Joe Biden look coherent.
It is 500 million. I apologize.
Georgia Guidestones.
The Georgia Guidestones. It does say 500 million. It was erected March 500 million. I'm sorry, I apologize. That was misremembered. March 22nd,
I'm sure.
Seriously erected.
That's like the population of the United States and no other country.
Actually, the United States doesn't have quite 500 million people, but I suppose the NAFTA countries, all three of the NAFTA countries, Mexico, USA, and Canada, maybe you could throw in Cuba and Guatemala just to be sure. But, you know, I mean, one population block here on this planet would not even begin to support the kind of economy that's needed to support their lifestyle. So,
yeah.
And let's face it, I've often heard economists talk about consumer-driven economies. Well, let me enlighten for the benefit of some listeners who may not have studied economics as I have. Is there any other kind of an economy besides a consumer-driven economy? I can answer that question. There's no such thing as an economy that isn't consumer-driven. Economics is all about consuming and producing. If you're a producer, you're not going to produce if nobody out there wants to consume what you produce. And even if somebody out there wants to consume what you produce, there better be something in it for you, or why the hell should you produce whatever this consumer wants to consume? It's a game of give and take. Economies, well, hell, any human activity, any human interaction is a game of give and take. And I think we've just answered what went wrong with somebody in the ranks of the global elites. They obviously have a mental disorder that makes that renders them incapable of understanding the give and take nature of interaction within any intelligent species. And maybe some form of autism, perhaps autism spectrum disorder. Who knows, maybe some of them might actually have been dumb enough to themselves decide to try some of Bill Gates' vaccines. If that's the case, that could also partly explain it there too. But the point
okay,
of the
but
matter
they
is...
don't understand. They don't, whoever it is, doesn't understand they're destroying their own, they're cutting their legs off.
Exactly. Exactly right.
You can say that. You can say that, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You can say that, but the other part, I've interviewed a lot of whistleblowers, and they're part of them, like, what is his name? John Tiger and the other one, Cooper, another Cooper, but not the original Bill Cooper, Dan Cooper. He's saying that they've sold off the Earth Quartz minerals, and they're getting rid of humanity, and they're sending us out into the the different secret space programs, and being sold off as sex slaves, worker slaves,
soldiers.
Military slaves. What else?
Soldiers.
Yes, soldiers, and so they're not really. They don't care because I guess it's the reptilians or the Dracos or somebody's coming in here and they're going to just mine it. It's going to be because it has all these natural minerals, which are very valuable in the cosmos. Because if you look at the whole system, and I'll just say it here, I'm a never Trumper. I don't know what your politics are, but I'm a never Trumper. And I talked to my whistleblower the other day, who's one of the Eisenhower descendants, and she says that, anybody's got millions and billions of dollars, or they're compromised. They've had to kill babies or have sex with children or somehow, and so they're all compromised in order to get into the million. We don't know what the X bottom line is. You know, is it 500 million, 10 million, 20, but they don't become a celebrity that gets a contract with Hollywood. They don't become a politician that's making any kind of money or having any control or power until they play ball. And once they play ball, they're compromised. If they step out of line, they get reeled in. And that apparently is part of the control that Trump has. But Trump is still a puppet. He's not the puppet master. It goes even further up. And it's probably the Anunnaki, or it could be the Draconians, reptilians. We're not exactly sure, but this is what we've been tracking down, these investigative reporters. But you're out there doing some stuff as well. It does make sense. The whole point is illogical. That they're burning the West Coast. And by the way, I found some YouTubes of a beam coming down and sparking. So it's coming from either the Space Force, Star Wars, or satellites or something, and they're sparking. And so, you know, and this was predicted years ago that America would burn. It's actually in Revelations, but in Revelations, which is John the something or other that was out on the island, did they come and teleport him and show him the future, and he had limited knowledge, and he just created this scenario based on how he could describe, you know, atomic weaponry and all kinds of stuff. But he did say the planet would be burning up by the time of the quote-unquote end times. Back to you, Ronaldo.
Well, all of this to me is purely speculation. I'm not going to say yes or no to any of it because I honestly can't really comment that intelligently on it. What I can comment on is this. We, as humans, have an unprecedented opportunity now to say no to all this because the governmental agendas have become just so obvious now. I mean, They're asking people to wear masks, you know, surgical masks over their faces that they say this supposedly is helping curb the spread of a virus that even the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia admits that unless you already have something seriously wrong with you, to begin with, or you're over 75 years of age, it's, virus is just, it's basically just a particularly rough flu. Yeah, it's rougher than your average flu, obviously, but you have a chance of dying from it is less than 1% unless there's already something very seriously wrong with you. And by the way,
been refuted, and so we don't know. There's all kinds of stories that, you know, that's been refuted as well. So these are this is the part of the active measures, the polarity where we're divided and conquered. Let's have one group that says mask and the other group says no mask, and then we're divided once again, and divided is conquered. And so we really don't have any real or true information about any of this because they control all aspects of our media. All aspects.
Right, of course.
Anger,
exactly.
And hatred and polarity. Yeah, that's
yes, exactly.
Well, the purpose.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that. And that's part of how they're making this whole scenario that's basically, as what I've been seeing in the past several days is it's beginning to unravel right in the faces of the people that orchestrated it. And I think they're in panic now because as of tomorrow, Facebook will be assuming a lot more decision-making authority on who gets to post and who doesn't and can remove posts without any prior notification. Because if they feel that something you published on Facebook could be offensive or could be legally a problem for Facebook, or
it should be a public utility, not a private company. The problem is capitalism. That's part of the problem, ultimately. We're talking about a public utility now. That's what Facebook has become, and it should be regulated for the public. Not for the.
Not arguing with you on that. What I am going to simply say is that they don't even need to give you any warning. They don't even need to give you any opportunity to amend your post or any such thing. They don't like what you published. They'll just take it off just like that. I know people, it's already happened to them. And so they're changing their terms of service tomorrow. And a lot of people are going to be moving over to other social media platforms, which is totally understandable. But the point of the matter is, Janet, you're right. They control so much of the aspects of many ways of people to communicate with each other to the point now where getting accurate information often can be aggravated. Like I said, the boxes, by the way, in which these masks they insist on people wearing, have a blurb on the box that says this mask doesn't protect you from any attack. So that's a total lie saying wearing these masks would help stop the spread of COVID-19. And the boxes on which this mask comes.
So then what do we do? Herd immunity is not going to work. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm not getting any injections of any virus or vaccines. I'm not going to have somebody come up and French kiss me with COVID. I mean, I'm just erring on the side of caution because it's much like, Russian roulette. You don't know. So I have been up in my property here since February, and I'm just not going down and hanging out with the masses because I am old. I'm 66. I am compromised. But, I could probably live to be 150 if it wasn't exposure to some freaking COVID. So I'm not going to play that game, and I don't know where my mind might actually wrap around and believe it because people are highly suggestible. A lot of reasons why you get diseases, and if you go to a doctor and a doctor says you have 6 months to live, a lot of people follow that hypnosis and they live 6 months and die. So as an individual, I don't know what I believe as a in my subconscious. So I'm just protecting myself. Because I'm really busy living life, and I have a mission and a lot to do. So I just say, here's the litmus. Is it kind? Is it loving? Are people dying? Yes, people are dying. Or at least there's all these people and statistics and movies and videos and YouTubes. And you can look everywhere where they're doing personal stories about, this happened to me, you know, here's my mother. She said, there's thousands. So is it kind or unkind? Is it loving or not loving? I think that if you are a potential carrier and you go walking around spreading disease, just like with AIDS, right? Just like with AIDS, there was that guy that was running, was flying on a plane and zipping around. He infected over 100 people. He knew he had AIDS. So if you test positive and you run around without a mask, what they're going to do is they can figure out biologically the what do they call that? Typhoid Marys, right? If you're spreading diseases, and this is coming real soon here, and they track it down to you genetically, and you're the one that ran around to the bars and gave everybody, like there was a lady came over here to Maui, and Maui had zero, and she came over and she was infected, and she went to the beaches, and then everybody started testing positive, and a few people died. So one death is too many. If you kill one person, is that like saying, oh, well, I only killed one person? No, if you kill one person, that's one too many. Because karmically, you're going to be paying that's going to come due for the rest of your existence. You can't go around killing people knowing you have a disease that could kill somebody. That's unconscionable. That's evil. So, yeah, so they tracked it down to her. I don't know what they did to her, but I know they put her on the first plane out of here, and they find her whatever they could. But it's the next level, because this is going to go on for years. We don't have any liberties anymore. They're gonna minimize our travel. We're gonna have to have 20 vaccines and all this the test form before and after before we can get on a plane and leave Maui. Okay, and that's gonna happen in a minute. So the best thing to do is, real or not, play the freaking game, and let's see if the numbers go down. But to go around and say I have a right. No, you're taking my liberties away, because you're. If we would do the hypothesis, it's definitely gone in 6 weeks. And we played the game, right? So we're not doing it, and people are dying, including one of Trump's people in his office. Then, you know, they're gonna lock us out, because guess what? They absolutely control everything, because in their minds, we're like a bunch of chickens. We're not even smart as a cow. We're a bunch of chickens, and they've got absolute control, and they always have. The illusion that Facebook is free was the illusion. They give you something, you think you have something really cool, and it's always take away, take away, take away. And then soon we'll look you back and remember the days we used to travel? Remember the days when we could use space? And it's like, those were the good old days. And there aren't as good old days right now because it's COVID, and this will be post-COVID, and it's not fun. Back to you. I'm sorry, I talk too much, but I'm pissed off.
No worries. I understand your anger, and that's the main thing that I can see that the rest of the human race can do now, is we could just refuse to comply with it. I mean, I'm totally with you. I don't want any COVID-19 vaccine, and come what may, I'm not going to take a vaccine, especially not with the horror stories I've heard of how the clinical trials have gone. 80 to 85% of the people that took the vaccines ended up being sick, some of them disabled for life, and several of them died. I mean, I want to give a vaccine that you have an 80 to 85% chance of either ending up disabled or dead as a result of taking that vaccine, for a virus that you have a less than 1% chance of actually dying from it if you get it. So does that make any sense? And by the way,
yeah, it's iatrogenic murder. It's iatrogenic murder. Doctor caused murder.
Yeah. And by the way,
who's pushing the virus before the election? Who's pushing the virus before the election? And what's going to happen if you don't take that virus?
Big pharma.
Yeah, but which political figures are pushing the virus before the election? They politicized it.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And by the way, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin,
and a zinc tablet. I can send you by email sometime before the weekend the exact dosages and for how many days to take those three tablets. The recovery rate is almost 100% among even the elderly that have come down with this virus if they take hydroxychloroquine. Yes?
you cannot test that theory. That's all these are stories on the internet. They're stories. None of them are proven, and they can all be manipulated. I don't take pharmaceuticals at all, and hydroxychloroquine is a pharmaceutical. I don't take pharmaceuticals. I go to the natural things to take. I'd rather take corn and silver up my nose than a hydroxychloroquine.
Well, that's your privilege. I mean, I personally had to take hydroxychloroquine tablets once a day when I was visiting Kenya and Tanzania back in the late 80s, because that was instructions that any visitors to that kind of those countries were given, because the mosquitoes that carried malaria. And I took it, and it didn't do anything bad to me. So, you know, I'm just saying that there's different treatment options, and the recovery rate among people who have taken different treatment options is virtually 100%. So it's not as if COVID-19 is untreatable. It's not as if COVID-19 has a high
story that says that. I mean, how do you prove that? It's just a story. Just because it's on the internet.
I happen to know someone who works for the Ministry of Health in this country. And she verified some of this for me.
I don't know how to prove anything. I just, everything's on the internet, and it doesn't make it real or true. But go ahead, Sash. Get back here. You say something.
You know, if you're sick and you have this simple option that Ronaldo talked about, it seems like that might be preferable to having that thing stuck into your brain up your nose.
Well, how do you know you're sick? Okay, you have somebody putting something up your nose, testing you, and then they're going to give you the results. How do you know that they're real? How do you know they aren't real? These are a bunch of people that you're trusting.
Thank you both for reminding me of that.
Nobody trusts them anymore.
Thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you both for reminding me of that. I checked out those nose dipsticks that they use for testing people for COVID-19. I went right into the Food and Drug Administration's website and found their list they published of manufacturers of those COVID-19 test kits.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 12-page list I printed off, and less than 25% of the companies had a statement beside the company's name saying approved by the FDA. It was over 80% of them. Between 75 and 80% of them, they don't have any kind of FDA approval or certification. So they're allowing companies to manufacture these test kits that have not been inspected and approved by the appropriate government agencies to be sure that these test kits are clean and would actually produce reliable results. And the FDA even admitted it on their website, that most of the COVID-19 test kit manufacturers are not approved, and they are not producing these test kits that would be at all produce worthwhile results. And incidentally, just less than a week ago, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, admitted that only about 7% of the people that they said tested positive for COVID-19, that their results were reliable. No big surprise, considering the FDA's own website admitted that the vast majority of the COVID-19 test kit manufacturers aren't even certified as knowing how to produce these test kits that would be at all worth any health professionals while to use them. So
right, you got to go a step back and follow the money. Who makes these things? Who manufactures them? Which lobbyists pay for which politicians?
Exactly, and think about it.
All these people got filter rich because of COVID. All these, Bezos and Amazon, making billions of dollars a day.
Shut down the retail stores.
Right? So all the competition gets shut down. So now we're all locked down, and we're in these little, it's like a home imprisonment, right? And they don't even have to put the the things on our legs to keep us in there. So
I know. And think about it. In excess of 90% of people who were told to stay home, quarantined, because they tested positive for the virus, there was no reason on God's green earth for them to be treated like that. In excess of 90% of them for a false test result. With a company, the test made by a company that the government knew what.
They have the vaccines that aren't going to work. Even if they had a vaccine, the antibodies don't last.
What good would it do? I know. What good would it do? What good would it do? Yeah, exactly. What good would it do? What good would a vaccine do? The only good I could see it would do is further their depopulation agenda. And a whistleblower from GlaxoSmithKline over in Europe even said that the vaccine that GlaxoSmithKline was working on before they got shut down on that recently by governments there in Europe because of what this whistleblower told the public will render everyone who takes it infertile. The women that take it won't be able to get pregnant. The men that take it, if they'll still be able to do it at all, they'll be squirting out blanks, you know. So there you go.
So this is all part of the
That's what good
it
will do. Thank you. That's about what good it'll do. Help reduce the planet's population again.
We line up to get the vaccine. We line up to get the test. We line up, and there's no way to verify anything. There's no way to verify anything. It's manufactured by the people that are in charge of pharmaceuticals in this world.
Right.
They always have an agenda. So I don't trust any of it.
I know. I'm not arguing with you.
Sooner or later, you're going to get it.
Exactly.
They almost have a cure, and they need some more money to do the next bit of investigation.
Conflict of interest, then. But do you notice that over the years, conflict of interest guidelines have been whittled away across the board in all areas of human activity?
Yep.
That's another direction finder for you to look at who's benefiting from it. Listen, you two, I hate to be a party poop, but I guess I'm calling in using prepaid U.S. calling credit on my phone here. But this same time next week, I'll be here. And incidentally, Sasha and Janet, if you two want, I would appreciate it if you two did on the Aquarian Radio website publish that message to the planetary oligarchy so that people can share it around. And I'll email you both over the weekend. And yeah, Wednesday next week I'll have more credit so I can talk longer. They're calling in, and as soon as I can get hold of either a new laptop or a iPad with Zoom on it, then yeah, we can do this even.
You actually called into Blog Talk. So since this is working, we can continue to use this. Because Zoom makes it into an MP4. I have to convert it to MP3. Anyway, so this is something
easier
that I can grab.
Yeah.
And I can put it out there right away. So this worked. I didn't know if you could call in. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make sure to have additional calling credit next week so we can do more of this. By all means, next week we'll be here again, and we'll talk more about this message. And incidentally, over the weekend, I'll put together a bit of my analysis to share more about, just explain why I agree with the message that, what these people are doing is extremely stupid.
Excellent.
And
great.
The
email,
other thing I could...
Email radio at... Okay,
and
good.
Your favorite
by
cartoons that illustrate points. If you have any cartoons,
I'll see what I can find.
Cool.
But I'll leave you with one last point before I go. One last little point I'll leave with the both of you. Hopefully, by publishing this, it'll get back to some of those big boys among the global elite. And I agree with the author of that. It would be virtually impossible for all of them to be that screwball in the head. Even in a small crowd like that, there's got to be at least a couple of people with some common sense. Man, let's face
it's
it.
Like
it only takes a few with some.
Nero.
I'm sorry, what did
we
you say?
We got a Nero type. We've got a Nero type who's fiddling around while we burn.
But hopefully somebody will have some common sense and step in and say, it's time to end this idiocy show. You know, it's like, you know, let's get back to living in the real world instead of living in the, and I know back in the 1970s, I don't know if you two remember the Gong Show. It's like time to put a stop to this Gong Show and get back to get back to life and reality. All right, on that note, I'll let you two go, and we'll talk next week. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Okay, Ronaldo. Excellent.
Talk to you next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Tom.
All right.
Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Aloha. Okay, what do you want to say before I put up the wrap-up music? Go ahead, Sasha. Final words.
The basic human sanction is nullity. Stop participating in the institutions that grind people down.
Okay, that's been it for today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week, same time, on, what is this, Planetary Oligarchy on Aquarian Radio. Much love and blessings, and aloha.
That's good.